Certainly appreciate the presence of each and every one as we've again gathered together on this Lord's Day to worship God in spirit and in truth. I encourage everyone to take out your Bibles and prepare to follow along with our study this evening titled, Some Characteristic of Those Who Know God. And as Alvin just read for us there from John chapter 17, we learn there in those three verses that Alvin just read for us as Jesus prayed to his Father in heaven. He prayed that people would know him. His prayer was for people to know God, that they may know God. And the scriptures do often emphasize the need for one to know God. That is just one of the examples that we have in the scriptures of the scriptures emphasizing the need for one to know God. We have another example given there in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9. As good Bible students, you recall there in the text there where David was admonishing his son Solomon. And do you remember one of those things that he admonished his son to do? To know the God of your father. Again, to know God has reference to having regard for him. It denotes to consider him in a special or specified way. Unfortunately, there are many today who do not know God. Sadly, there are many who have absolutely no regard for God whatsoever. And it's important that we understand the need to know God. So with that thought pressed upon our minds, let's take some time this evening to discuss the importance of knowing God. And let's examine some characteristics of those who do. And I begin this afternoon by suggesting to us that those who know God are those who have faith in God. A good example of those who knew who their God was is given for us there in Daniel chapter 3. In Daniel chapter 3, again, as good Bible students, we're familiar with the text there. We're familiar with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We're familiar with them. And the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, giving that order for them to bow down and to worship the gold image. However, they wasn't going to have any part of that, right? Because they knew who their God was. And they had faith that no matter what, God would deliver them. Notice this with me, if you will. Here in Daniel chapter 3, and let's begin here in verse number 14. There it reads, Nebuchadnezzar spoke, saying to them, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery in sympathy with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, good. But if you do not worship, you shall be cast immediately into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who delivered you from my hands? Notice verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. Notice that. Here is an example of those who had faith in God. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They had complete faith in the one true and living God. And they made that very clear to Nebuchadnezzar. They made it very clear to him that, hey, we're not going to answer you in this matter. Because our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. And we know the rest of that story, right? He certainly did, didn't he? You see, we need to keep in mind that God knows those who trust him. The prophet of old informed us of this there in Nahum chapter 1 and verse 7. And there it's recorded, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. Indeed, God knows those who trust in him. He knows those who know him and put their faith and trust in him. And we must never forget that without faith it is impossible to please God. The Hebrews writer made us very aware of that fact there in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. When he says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Again, we must be a people who know God. And if we are going to be a people who know God and have regard for him, we must be a people who have faith in him. But we also learn there in regard to some characteristics of those who know God, is that those who know God will offer true worship to God. You see, we learn about this in John, the 4th chapter. And notice this with me, if you will, there in John chapter 4. Notice these words of Jesus. Here in John chapter 4, beginning in verse 23, Jesus said, but the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Again, those who truly have regard for God, those who know God, will be those who worship God in spirit and in truth. When I think about the need to worship God in spirit and truth, the need to give glory to God, I can't help but to think about the words of the psalmist found there in Psalm 29 and verse 2. And there it's recorded, give unto the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Those who know God, they give glory where glory is due. They give glory to the Lord, and they worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. And we need to be mindful of the need to be a people who worship only the one true and living God. We need to be mindful of the need to worship the Lord our God and be one who only serves him. We're reminded of this there in Matthew, the 4th chapter. And there in Matthew chapter 4, again, as good Bible students, we're familiar with the context there. In the context there of Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is being tempted by Satan in the wilderness. And as Jesus is being tempted by Satan in the wilderness, you recall what Jesus said? Recall what Jesus said to the devil there in verse 10 of Matthew 4. He said, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Again, those who truly have regard for God, those who know God, will be a people who worship and serve only the one true and living God. But I also suggest to us this afternoon that those who know God are those who are strong and will take a stand. You see, we learn that there in Daniel chapter 11, and in verse 32, where Daniel said, those who know God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. You see, Daniel, he was certainly one who was strong and one who took a stand, wasn't he? You see, we learn about that there in Daniel chapter 6. Go there with me, if you will, there to the 6th chapter of the book of Daniel. And again, as good Bible students, we're familiar with the context, with the plot that was against Daniel. We're familiar where it was recorded here to where Daniel, he wasn't supposed to pray. And again, we see there where Daniel, he wasn't going to have no part of it, was he? Notice this with me, if you will, there in Daniel chapter 6. Let's just begin here in verse 7. Where it says, all the governors of the kingdom, the administrators and satraps, the counselors and advisors, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whoever petitions any god or man for 30 days, except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, so that it cannot be changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which does not alter. Therefore, King Darius signed the written decree. Did that keep Daniel from doing what he was accustomed to doing? Did that keep Daniel from praying to his God? It didn't, did it? Notice as we see there in verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room with his windows open toward Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times that day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Again, Daniel, he was strong, wasn't he? He was strong. He certainly had faith in God, just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right? He wasn't going to allow this decree of men to keep him from petitioning his God. And we see that although this decree was written, he still went ahead and did what he was accustomed to do. And we need to be mindful of that. For as Daniel said there in Daniel chapter 11 and in verse 32, notice that with me. He said, those who do wickedly against the covenant, he shall corrupt with flattery. But the people who know their God, now watch it. The people who know their God shall what, Daniel? Shall be strong and carry out great exploits. You want to know what that means? You know what it means to carry out great exploits? Simply put, it means to take action. And here Daniel is simply expressing that those who know God, those who know God shall be strong and take action. And that is a characteristic of those who know God. They will be strong. They will take a stand. Make a stand and take action. You see, God wants his people to be a strong people. We see this emphasized not only in the Old Testament, but also in the New Testament. God wants his people to be a strong people. We see it emphasized there in Joshua chapter 1. Go there with me, if you will, for a moment. Here in Joshua. Joshua chapter 1. Notice these words. Beginning in verse number 6. Here it's written, be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you shall be may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Verse 9, he says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for your Lord, your God, is with you wherever you go. Again, we see where God desires for his people to be a strong, courageous people. And we see this not only in the Old Testament, but again, as we mentioned, in the New Testament. Notice Paul's instruction to the saints in Corinth there in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13. There Paul said, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Again, those who truly know God, those who truly have a regard for God, will be one who are strong. They will be one who takes a stand. And we need to be strong in the Lord, and we need to stand against the wiles of the devil, as Paul informed there in Ephesians chapter 6. We learn about that there in Ephesians chapter 6 and in verse 10. Again, where Paul's admonition to the saints in Ephesus was for them to be strong in the Lord. And he also instructed them to do what? To take a stand. To take a stand against who? Our adversary, the devil. And he goes on, as we see there, as we talked about not too long ago in our adult Bible study class, as we went through the book of Ephesians. He talks about that armor of God. That armor of God that the child of God is to take up and to put on and to equip themselves with in order to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. But not only do people who know God, have faith in God, offer true worship to God, not only are they strong and take a stand, but they're also a people who are continual in prayer. As we mentioned a few moments ago there from Daniel chapter 6, Daniel was one who was steadfast in prayer, wasn't he? He was steadfast in prayer. As we talked about a few moments ago, it was his custom to pray 3 times a day. He prayed 3 times a day, didn't he? He was steadfast in prayer. And those who know God, they're going to be a people who are going to be steadfast in prayer. They're going to understand the power that is in prayer. You see, we need to know that God, he hears the prayers of those who are righteous. God hears the prayers, the cries of the righteous. Daniel understood that. And we too need to understand that. You see, we learned there in Proverbs chapter 15. There in Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 9, we learned that the Lord is far from the wicked. But what's he do about the prayers of the righteous? He hears them. He hears the prayers of the righteous, doesn't he? We learned there in James chapter 5 and verse 16, the fervent, effective prayer of a righteous man, what does it do? Avails much, absolutely. The fervent, effective prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Again, there's power in prayer. And those who know God are going to be a people who are continual in prayer. Again, we learn the need to be continual in prayer there in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2. There Paul said to continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. We learn there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17, the need to pray without ceasing. Again, it denotes the idea to be continual in prayer. And those who know God, those who truly have a regard for God, they're going to be continually going to him in prayer, letting their requests be made known to him. But I also suggest to us this evening that those who know God, they obey God despite the consequences. Again, going back to Daniel chapter 3 and going back to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We learned that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they would not worship those false gods despite the consequences of not doing so, right? We talked about that. Let's go back there. Go back there with me to Daniel chapter 3. And let's pick up here where we left off there in verse number 18. We see where they said, "But if not, let it be known to you, O king." This is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego addressing Nebuchadnezzar. They said, "Let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up." Now watch verse 19. Nebuchadnezzar was full of fury, and the expression on his face changed toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He spoke and commanded that they heat the furnace 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he commanded certain mighty men of valor who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and cast them into that burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their trousers, their turbans, and their other garments and were cast in the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's command was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Think about that for a moment. Think about that. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were given a choice, right? You bow down and worship this gold image, or I'm going to throw you in this fiery furnace. They had a choice. They had a choice to either obey the command of Nebuchadnezzar, or to continue to obey the one true living God. And what did they choose? Despite the consequence, they chose to obey God. And what happened? They got thrown in that fiery furnace. And again, think about that. This furnace, it was so hot that the men who throwed them in there, that as he cast it in, that those men who took them, that these men were thrown in the furnace. It killed them. But what happened to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? What happened to them? Well, let's continue reading. Notice in verse 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose in haste and spoke, saying to his counselors, did we not cast these three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said to the king, true, O king. Look, he answered, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Think about that. They were thrown into this fiery furnace, but yet they were not hurt. They were not hurt. Picking up in verse 26, then Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spoke, saying, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came from the midst of the fire. Wow. Those are those men that we were talking about earlier who had faith in their God. They had faith that God would deliver them, and indeed he did. And they give us a great example of those who truly know God. They give us a great example of those who truly have a regard, a high respect for God. And they give us an example of those who are going to obey God no matter what the consequence is. You see, we need to be mindful of that. We need to be mindful of Daniel, another great example of one who obeyed God despite the consequence. We see there, again, as we talked about earlier there in Daniel chapter 6, the fact that there was this decree that was written for no one to offer petitions to anyone except for the king. But Daniel went ahead and he prayed to God, the one true living God, despite the consequences. And what happened to him? Let's go back there to Daniel chapter 6. Let's pick back up there. Let's pick back up there in verse number 11 where we left off there a few moments ago. It says, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. And they went before the king and spoke concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man who petitions any god or man within 30 days except you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which does not alter. So they answered and said before the king that Daniel, who is one of the captives from Judah, does not show due regard for you, O king, or for the decree that you have signed, but makes this petition three times a day. Did you notice that? You see, Daniel didn't show regard to the king. But who did he show regard to? The one whom he knew, his God, the one true living God, despite the consequences. And we know the rest of that story, right? Daniel got thrown in the lion's den, but did he get hurt? Absolutely not. Daniel was spared, wasn't he? He was saved from the lion's den. Again, a great example of one who obeyed God despite the consequences. And we too need to always be one who obeys God rather than men despite the consequences. When I think about that, I think about the apostles there in Acts chapter 5. And again, as good Bible students, we recognize that the apostles were told by the Sanhedrin to quit preaching Christ. But do you remember what the apostles replied to them? We ought to obey God rather than men. Amen. We too need to always be a people who recognize the need to obey God no matter what. And there may come a time. There may come a time to where we may be in a position to where we have a choice to make like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. There may come a time to where we have a choice to make like Daniel. There may come a time where we have a choice to make like the apostles, where we have to either decide whether to follow the rules of men, to do what they have ordered and said for us to do, or we're going to have to choose to continue to obey God, our one true living God. Those times are coming. It's very possible with the times that we live in today that men are not going to be able to take the pulpit and preach against homosexuality. It's very possible. It's very possible that there may come a time to where men won't be able to take the pulpit and preach against abortion. It's very possible that there's going to come a time to where people's going to be told, hey, if you do that, you're going to go to jail. We're going to shut you up. That's very possible. But we need to be mindful, brethren, that we must always, no matter what, obey God despite the consequences. And those who truly know God, those who truly respect and have high regard for the one true living God, are going to be those who will always choose to obey God rather than men despite the consequences. Those who know God will love Him and they will faithfully serve Him. Therefore, be one who knows God and strive to possess the characteristics that we have discussed here this afternoon. And never forget, there are consequences for not knowing God. Did you know that? You see, we've talked about some characteristics of those who know God, and we talked about some benefits that comes along with those who truly know God, right? But on the flip side of that coin, there are consequences for not knowing God. We learn about that there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. And we learn that there in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, specifically that those who do not know God and those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, what's going to happen to them? They're going to be punished with everlasting destruction. Think about that. There's benefits to knowing God and having regard for Him. But there are likewise consequences for not knowing God and for not having regard for Him. We need to be aware of that consequence. We need to be a people who know God, knowing that if we are those who do not know God and do not have regard for Him, we will be punished with everlasting destruction. Therefore, if there is one here this afternoon who may find themselves in a position of not knowing God, we plead with you to get your heart right with God this very hour. Maybe there's one here this evening who has not yet submitted themselves in obedience to the Lord and His will. You have that opportunity to do so. And if you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ, the Son of the one true living God, you can repent of your sins, you can confess Jesus Christ before men, and you can be baptized this very hour for the remission of your sins. And maybe there's one here this afternoon who's already done that, but maybe you've strayed from that straight, narrow way that leads to life. You're encouraged to repent of your sins. You're encouraged to get back on that straight and narrow path that leads to life this very hour. Repent. Confess your sins to God. Ask Him for His forgiveness. Get back to having regard and respect for God now while you still have that opportunity to do so. Knowing that failure to do so, there will be consequences to pay. So if there would be one here this evening, you would be subject to the Lord's gracious invitation, whatever your need may be, won't you let that need be made known now while making your way toward the front while we stand and sing the song, verses selected.